David A. Price presents...
Hello, folks. Welcome to Marvel Noise, episode 372. I'm a clone of your host, Steve Raker, who's vacationing on the beach with his family while I hold down the fort. Kevin, Andrew, you guys don't have anything against clones, do you?
I made robot parents.
Clones are good. I mean, unless someone's cloning your computer, Steve.
Marvel Noise is the podcast proudly sponsored by nobody. You can find, listen to, stream, and download episodes past and present over on MarvelNoise.com. There's that handy little drop-down menu on the right-hand side, that little calendar to bring up past months and years. Get new episode announcements and see images and cover galleries over on our Facebook and Twitter pages. And find other fine podcasts from our host with the most, Derek Howard and the Deliberate Noise Network. There's a lot of shows there that can entertain you, including Indie Comic Book Noise, our sister show, where we talk indie comics. Still an item. The 2021 Baltimore Comic Con is coming soon. It's like just 2.5 months away. Get your tickets today online, because the Baltimore Comic Con is my favorite comic-centered show, full of fantastic guests and artists. It's just a giant artist's alley, guys. And it's a locally run con back at the Baltimore Convention Center right there in the Inner Harbor Zone, October 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. You can check out the already substantial guest list and get tickets and other information at BaltimoreComicCon.com. Joe Q will be there. I'll be there. You could be there, too.
See, I could be there?
You could be there. You,
I don't know.
Actually, I think the border's still closed, right? I think that's more on your guys' side of the border than ours at this point, but anything's possible by October, Kevin. See you in Baltimore.
I keep the faith.
All right, before I hand over the mic to Andrew and we jump back into our New Warriors coverage, let's fire off a couple of recent reads. I've got one that just a quickie to confirm that, yes, Kevin, the Marvels was an interesting, good read.
Oh, that's good.
I read the first three issues. It's Kurt Busiek and is it Yandre Sinair?
Yildiré Sinar?
I'm there you go.
100% sure.
The art's fantastic. It reminds me a little bit of Andrea DeVito in that clean style, but still with a thick line that looks like it's bleeding a little bit of ink. But at the same time, every once in a while, his poses and the way that his line blocks into shapes on, you know, like his composition and stuff reminds me of Gil Kane art at times. I really enjoy what he's doing with the book. And it's a cool idea, right? They're going to, like, draw from anywhere in the Marvel Universe, not only any character, but also any, like, part of Marvel's history to tell any facet of the story so they can, you know, set up stuff in the past and then bring it forward. But the one thing that was, I don't know, that just seemed weird to me is, like, there's this big scene at the end of the first issue where Cap infiltrates a impenetrable area and he faces off against the villain who is mentioning to him that, you know, you should have brought reinforcements with you. And he smugly says he did, and he, like, you know, draws forth a bunch of heavy hitters, right? Like Iron Man and, you know, some characters like Arrow are included because I know they're pushing that character and stuff, so they're trying to draw from all different spots. But what's funny is, like, the Black Cat is one of the people that's included. Yeah. And it's like, I'm really feeling like they're, like, Kevin, I'm happy that they're not doing the Black Cat is an out-of-character gangster person again. And that they're, you know, they've reformed her. But this whole thing of now she's, like, operating, like, as she's, as if she's one of the Avengers, she's filling the role that Black Widow fills. And it's not just here. It's been in a couple of different books. And then you go to her own book where it's like she's now operate on a cosmic level that, you know, and it's not even that the stories are so bad or anything. There was this one where she's like dealing with the Black Fox and they make a deal to sell New York City, like Manhattan, to some like Native American demon god, or there's way more to it than that. I'm oversimplifying it to not be spoilery and to just get to the point. But the fact that they're just, you know, and it's funny, she makes a deal, you know, she's talking to this thing and she makes a clever second deal and all that, you know, and it has that clever thievery that would be part of her character. But it's just weird that she's like dealing with these cosmic entities, and I know she's going to have this whole stuff with the Infinity Stones and things coming up, and it just seems like, I don't know, like even the Black Widow doing that stuff is out of place, but to have it be the Black Cat, that part is weird. But I do like the Black Cat, so that's great. And the art, yeah, in these books is all good, but you know, it's just a little weird. And actually, while I'm on the subject of Black Cat and have the mic in front of me, they had a Black Cat annual that was also written by the series writer, McKay, Jed McKay. And the artist is Joey Vasquez on the annual. And the art is good, and the story is kind of a interesting one where the Black Cat is non-consensually brought onto a team run by the international spy superhero character, the White Fox. And there's a team that she has assembled, so the Black Cat has to be forced to sort of be part of this commando team that has a mission. So, you know, you could see where there'd be some things interesting there, because she's obviously a loner and she's got her own, she's out for herself, and how is she going to outsmart and all that sort of business. But at the end, they teleport into the place that they're supposed to infiltrate. And when they finally meet the big bad, the Black Cat, and they have to like go through all these different traps and pass these barriers to get to the big bad. And when they get there, like the big reveal is that the Black Cat actually went there like before the team and set something up that then was like the way that they got out of it at the end, that the White Fox wasn't expecting. But it's like, but they teleported there and had to, so like, and she was under the surveillance of the, like, she's being held by the squad that she's having to work with. So it was just really weird that it's like, well, how would she have gotten to a place that she had to tell, like, that's really clever that, oh, she's two steps ahead or whatever. But I don't know, it seemed like a really big glitch in the story. But it's the Black Cat doing more than she should. She shouldn't be teleporting places and doing interdimensional, like, it was a reach already, and it started to give me a bad taste in my mouth when they first did the thing of like the interdimensional thieves loot stash that she, you know, like their vault that was in Central Park or whatever that she had to steal, that, and then it got her in trouble with the Thieves Guild and all that stuff. But at least that had the whole, like, it's a heist and it's part of the whole Thieves Guild that we already know has some supernaturalness to them. But even that felt like, should she really be doing this, like, interdimensional thing? And now it's just, like, really out of Pandora's box is open. That's my soapbox on the Black Cat.
Yeah. It kind of reminded me of those Wolverine stories where it's like, oh, I'm on a world and Galactus is coming and I'm going to save this alien world. I'm like, Wolverine versus Galactus?
Right.
Like, sometimes there's nothing necessarily wrong with the story. It's just a little weird.
Yeah.
I mean, Galactus doesn't stand a chance.
They talk it out. Spoiler.
They play softball.
I guess I should do a quickie too with a planet-sized X-Men thing follow-up. I was concerned, I guess, when you guys talked about it, that we might be zooming in on the planet for four pages or something like Alabendus. But
he's never going to live that down.
And then I typically think of Dugan nowadays as writing his best stuff. So I was entertained. So that was good. I enjoyed it. See, I told you it was a quickie.
Well, I have a quick hit as well. I do listen to the team, so I want to thank Super Steve for the recommendation. A lot of people think I'm jaded, but it's nice when you get a comic book that makes you laugh. So thanks, Super Steve. I missed the entire event, but I picked up the final issue, Heroes Return. So that's the Jason Aaron, Ed McGuinness, and the last page just made me laugh. So that's a good thing for me. This is big, dumb superhero fun. It's like Red Hulk's. Like, everyone is super muscular, like Ed McGuinness does.
Yeah.
Like, they even have, like, this the star brand as a child. Even the child looks like they're pretty well built. Like, everybody is just big, dumb punch-up. You know, the last issue, it's a big punch-up. I will say, Old Man Andy, not super thrilled with the new Blade and new Nighthawk outfits. I guess Nighthawk has 1,000 different ones, much like his fake cheap imitation across the street Batman. But I like a more traditional, colorful version on him. And same with Blade. Some of this kind of, you know, if you're going to be more street geared, like, go for the classic look because it had some color in it and was more fun.
I'm an afro.
That being said, you know, like I said, big superhero punch up. As we've talked about recently, I feel like the colorist should get it a bigger check, maybe, because a lot of the backgrounds, I'm like, how much of this is McGuinness and how much of this is just the colorist kind of filling in all the kind of, you know, they seems like on a lot of these books, they do more lifting than on other books as far as filling in the details in the back. But it, you know, it all works out for the end. This alternative world ends. And our regular 616 is reestablished. But we still have super yoked Hyperion flying around. We still have Nighthawk looking more and more Batman every time. And like I said, the twist at the end just made me laugh really hard. I don't necessarily want to spoil it, but think of the title of the segment, Recent Reads. Should give you a big hint about what recent storyline they're totally ripping off for much humor. So, yeah, but even the characters there are all super muscular. Like, I think they should make a McGuinness draw a book with only, like, skinny people or something. But, like I said, it works in this case. You know, it's a punch-up. You want everyone. It's just funny that, like, instantly this seemed to be the perfect choice for this issue. I can't speak at all to the rest of the event, but this was worth, you know, $6, a couple of laughs, a couple of punch-ups. What more do you want?
That's how the main series was the whole way through, and I wasn't expecting to like it, and I enjoyed it on that same level as you're describing, Andrew. The tie-ins, stay away from them all, unless you really want to delve into you know, a flash in the pants alternate reality and see a whole bunch of stuff fleshed out that you really don't need, because it's funner just to see the Squadron Supreme slowly, you know, figuring out that something's wrong with the world and then deciding, you know what, we want to fight for it anyway, and that and keep it the way it is. And it was fun. A good superhero story.
Yeah, the Squadron are best. Like, I've always liked them. Light and fluffy. They're just, you know, knockoffs of the competition. So we don't need to have some gritty, angsty 30-issue examination of their motivation. Like, we all know that's the fun thing about it. It's a speedster. It's a warrior woman. It's a big, strong Superman dude. It's Batman. Like, go at it.
Engage.
I have some toy noise.
Ooh. What's going on in the world of toys?
Marvel Legends keep on chugging along. I mean, nothing seems to halt production of, I don't know if I would say increasingly obscure, because on my end, it seems like they're still doing main characters, which is weird. But
I've totally lost track in the last bunch of waves, like, majorly.
I've been sorely tempted. The local drugstore has a $5 movie Wasp. Ooh. That I'm like, I normally don't dabble in those lines, but $5 is pretty cheap.
Yeah, I wouldn't blame anyone if they lost track of things, because it's been challenging, to say the least, to try to keep up with some of the stuff over the last year. But yeah, they did a wave that I always wonder. I'm like, well, why don't you just do a wave of supervillains? And it's like, well, because, you know, you need a Spider-Man or Wolverine or what have you, right? And then sometimes they've been pretty good about doing your extra figure or whatever. It's like, that's not part of the build-a. And when your build-a is Zemu.
That's awesome.
I know. He moves really well, too. All supervillains, and I'm like, wow, that's like the wave made for me. And while there are like some characters, I guess you could say, oh, I already have like a Red Skull, I mean, it's different.
Yeah.
Like, do you remember like
the brows?
Like, I never got that original, seemed like grandfathered in Red Skull from like, well, what is that, like decades ago?
The one I have is the one with the armor from the, you know, the one where it was him versus Cap when you got the two characters, and there was like a Iron Man Mandarin, and there was a original Wolverine and Sabretooth, I think, and there was that Cap and Red Skull, and the Red Skull had the sword and the armor, but he had the right brow. That's the problem with this one. This new one, when you mentioned it earlier before the show, I had to look it up, and it's got the gray jumpsuit and the cube and everything, but it just, the head's too round. I need a more of a brow, Kevin.
I mean, it seems like he has a decent brow.
It's got to be sticking out.
I mean, it's not, yeah, I guess it's not. If you're looking for, like, thing proportion brow... Like, it is not that big of a brow.
Doesn't have to be that bad, but...
There is definitely some definition in that brow going on. I mean, it might be easier to see on the one where he's not showing all his perfect dentistry, I'll say.
I do like having the alternate heads. That's pretty cool. You know what I did have to order, though? I ordered my first Marvel Legends in a long time, and that was the Dormammu. How could I not?
That's what I was gonna say. Like, when you're doing characters like that, like, that to me is like major character.
That's better than the build-up Dormammu that they did several years ago.
See, yeah, I think I tried probably to do something like that. That wasn't a weird movie one or something, was it?
It wasn't.
I think
no.
It might have. I thought it was with that. They had the one with the movie, the Doctor Strange movie line.
Oh, it might have been with that, but the Dormammu was what was a later version of the from the comics. It wasn't.
Oh, okay.
But it wasn't. But it didn't look like the old Ditko one, and this one does.
Yeah. The only thing I would say is, like, they could have added a little, like, the drawing on the back. It has like the orange on his face, but then the figure only has like, it's more of a standard red, even though it changes. Like, just a little more color I would have liked, but still pretty awesome. And then I guess it depends between guys that wear suits. Like, maybe Arcade is your least favorite guy, or the Hood. I mean, to me, it's the Hood.
Yeah.
But yep. Still, like, still decent.
And I don't need another lady, you know, Sabretooth.
Deathstrike?
Right. That's the one.
I think it's decent enough, though. Like, some of these, they've done, like, little revisions to some of them. Because I know there's a lot, they used to use that, like, dirty paint wash on a lot of them, and then they came out with new ones, and it's like, oh, this is like the updated musculature or whatever, and it doesn't have the dirty wash. So I mean, a lot of them are really good. And then Lady Deathstrike had that weird sort of pulled back like sleeve thing because of her metal claw cybernetics. I don't know, what do you called the weird, she's been experimenting.
Yep.
So that's still pretty decent. And then our Arcade, like, we're getting Arcade.
Yeah, but the one head with the long hair looks weird. Like,
isn't that
the regular
head Academy, like Arcade?
Like, why do we need all these? Just put the proper head on. What about those of us that can't keep track of our toys? Really think we're not going to lose those heads? I have a permanent Cap Wolf now. I think I lost the regular head.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, maybe I have JJJ's head on him or something. Like,
you know, the only reason I bought that done. Cap is pretty much for the Cap Wolf head, because I'm like, I never want to put, I already have a cap. Like, that cap head is never going on there. Like, he's permanently Cap Wolf.
No, I have buff JJJ, I think, is what I did with.
Maybe it'd be fun to get an Arcade, and then I could have him, like, lighting a match off of Doom. That would be awesome.
That would be great. But yeah, what's so great about these is when you pop off the heads, it's like Onslaught. It's like JJ Onslaught.
Yeah. Like, that head is the best one. You can just sell a bonus pack of like six JJJ heads.
Yeah. I'm still hoping, though, when they combine two characters, because it was like Chameleon and Hammerhead. And I'm like, I'm still hoping one day that they do another Hammerhead. I'm like, it's always possible. Oh, and then AIM Scientist Supreme. Because AIM's on everyone's list right now, right?
That's kind of cool. He's become a character. You know?
Yeah, because this is one of those, I don't have many of the, is it 3 3/4 of the Marvel that was like they were doing for a while? And I'm like, well, I might as well buy like one of the Beekeeper guys. And then they made some Beekeepers, so I'm like, that's cool.
Yeah, it's good. You can always have a little 3 3/4 Beekeeper like hanging off your chandelier or something like that. And it would be, you know, it goes with any decor.
Yeah. So yeah, like, really, really good wave in my estimation. Like, the other one coming up, I know, isn't quite as cool, but it still has some weird stuff like Hologram Iron Man and some totally Iron Heart. Some other different characters. I mean, it's pretty cool that we got the hand, and then he has all the Stilt Man legs, so you can build the super massive tall Stilt Man.
Ooh, that's coming in the Iron Man one?
No, I think that's the one before. I'm trying to remember what the one with the Iron Man wave is.
We need a good Stilt Man appearance. That's, comics is missing a good Stilt Man.
Yeah,
caper.
I don't know. Like, what I remember is when Wade had him like be like, "Well, why do you need Stilt Man anymore?" And I'm like, "Oh, he steals from like high rise apartments," and I'm like, "Totally makes sense." But he has to have appeared since then, right?
Probably not.
Like, he was appearing quite a bit around that era, because he even got, like, blown up by the Punisher.
Right.
And then they had a funeral, and for the casket, it was, like, his leg.
Yeah, that was pretty...
Lady Stilt Lady?
Yikes.
Stilt Woman. Actually, though, you had a good idea, Kevin. They should do a wave where it's like a word puzzle. Like one leads to the next, like Iron Man, Iron Heart, Black Panther. Like each one has to link to the other one. You know, the word play wave.
Hmm. I mean, the only wave that they haven't done is like, well, they're going to have six women in a wave. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, that's the last barrier, right? It's like, well, no one wants to play with them.
I also have picked up, now that I'm back in the store, getting on new number one. So I went with Gamma Flight, which is the exciting Al Ewing, Crystal Frazier, Lan Medina, Antonio Fabella spinoff. Now, this appears to be part one of five, so I'm guessing it's just a limited series. I don't really read previews or anything, so I don't know. But maybe if everyone loves it, it'll get more. And it had a lot of variant covers. I just got, like, the whatever cover. So, because I'm boring. I don't have exciting ones. But this is Puck, Titana, Absorbing Man, everybody's favorite couple. Doc Sasquatch, which is Leonard Sampson being Sasquatched out. Dr. Charlene McGowan and Rick Jones blended with Del Fry. So I always like, I really enjoyed when they put Absorbing Man and Titana together. I mean, people bag on Secret Wars, but it got us Venom and it got us that relationship. You know, there were some things that came out of that. And that's a fun. It's fun to have, like, an evil couple. And they're not super evil. Like, they don't go and just murder people for fun or whatever. They're just, super, you know, Robin Banks type evil, not the, you know, bad, bad evil type, which makes them fun. And, you know, everyone likes Puck. I mean, it's always been fun when they make him short or small. He's short Puck now. Remember when he was regular size Puck?
Yeah.
And you're like, his whole bit was being like a small little acrobat. I know.
He's a tall man who was cursed by a gypsy.
Yes. That happens a lot. You got to look out. You wander into the woods in Canada, you never know what you're going to find.
It hurt so much. I was always in pain. A tall man trapped in a small body.
But this is going to be like the sidekick crew. Getting it together to deal with some of the, you know, radioactive beasties. Because it seems like, man, it's been this way for a while. Like, the Hulk status quo is about kind of the whole gamma thing.
Yep.
Kind of like for Iron Man for about 20, 30 years was like the tech and Stark tech and Armor Wars and then the spinoffs and all the different things. Like, so I always think it's fascinating how these characters develop. And these things last for decades. Like, they're kind of, I mean, they have other stuff, but it's, I don't know. I just think it's interesting when you step back and you're like, wow, it's been a long time of this idea. So, you know, and you can even go back to the Hulkbusters a little bit, I guess. So sure. It's a team. They don't, you know, they have a lot of tension given the fact that a lot of them have severe interpersonal current status quo issues. Plus, they're not a natural team. So all that sort of internecine fighting mixed in with them trying to cure the various gamma problems and track down. So one of the gamma creatures escapes. And basically the big stinger is at the end about the only gamma creature that had been cured. And maybe that's enough of a spoiler for those people that know who that is.
Yeah, so, I was not aware of that either. I had lost track of that character.
Yeah, so had I, to be honest with you. But again, we had seen they're keeping it well within the Gamma family, so it's going to be that sort of return to that. I just think it's interesting that gamma radiation, pretty cool stuff in the Marvel Universe.
Yep, that's for sure. All right, you ready to lead us through some New Warriors, Andrew?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Right, Marvel Noise fans, you're in for a treat. We're back in the saddle again. And that saddle happens to be a New Warrior saddle. It's your New Warrior segment. And the New Warrior segment This will be our 11th, is heralded by our same crack team. And that crack team, well, I mean, we had one guest episode with Gary, but I'm getting distracted here. Our crack team is me, Andrew the LA Rabbit. This segment was the impetus. I bought the omnibus, which starts the adventures of the new warriors, which takes old characters and new characters to form a team. Started in Thor, early 90s. So I had to recruit Mr. 90s, Kevin Werwin X. Sorry, Kevin.
Yeah, I think I'm fine with being called Mr. 90s.
And Kevin's claim to fame, sort of like the Thunderbolts, is he read a lot of these and has claims that he enjoyed it. We're unsure. As we go through, we're discovering how much of this he read and didn't read. And we always bring in Super Steve, not just to make the trains run on time, because he has the distinction of only having read the good issues.
Two issues. That's his claim to fame for 90s stuff. He's like, yeah, I read two issues of that, guys. Even though he was back, he wasn't reading this stuff.
I was old enough by then, and coming out of college or an undergrad at that time, that I didn't feel the need to read everything. I just wanted to read the characters I really cared about and look at the art that really mattered to me.
See, that's the funny thing. Because you say, I want to read the characters that I really cared about. I didn't know who any of these characters were. So sure, I read my Spider-Man, but then I'm also like, I don't know. I'm definitely not reading everything. But I'm like, I don't know what this is. Let me try it out.
But you guys could understand how a seasoned reader of Marvel Comics could come back into the fold and see Kid Nova and be like, no, not Kid Nova. And they fixed it. Granted, he's regular Nova again, but they tried to do something different, didn't they?
They always try. There's always certain elements like that, and they're like, let's fix this. And I'm like, there was nothing to fix.
Yeah,
there might be something to modernize, but there's really nothing to fix.
Well, as I noted, they pulled this team together, started in Thor, and then immediately jump-started in their own issues. I have since graduated from the Omnibus in our last episode and moved on to the trade, New Warriors, Darkness and Light. And these issues you will find also on Marvel Unlimited. Steve, are you following on the Unlimited? Are you on issues? Where are you at with these?
I'm on the Unlimited.
Unlimited. And Kevin, are you on the Unlimited issues trade? What's going on?
That's funny. I have the issues beside me, but I also read some on the Unlimited. So I was kind of doing two things at the same time. But it's weird because I like the first issue cover, definitely recall that cover. Second issue, remember. Third issue, don't think I had it. And then fourth issue, I'm like, I vaguely recall something.
Got it.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Somehow I missed an issue somehow or something happened there. But it wouldn't be one of these segments without us arguing about reading order. And I thought we were going pretty tight. So I'm like, oh, we don't need this Night Thrasher thing. And then you told me the trade had them. I'm like, well, it's got to be important if the trade is including it. And I'm like, yeah, I guess we kind of need to read this miniseries.
All right, well, let's set the table for the listeners. We had just finished up. 25 was a big episode. A lot of status quo changes. And 26 with the introduction of the new penciler, Derek Robertson, who we all generally gave a thumbs up.
Yay.
We still have Fabian writing this thing. So we moved into this new era with 26, 27. We left off at 28. Kevin, who are our current new warriors?
I don't know. Who are our current new... You really want a lineup, Andrew?
Well,
what I was going to give you is Night Thrasher. His parents were killed when he was a child. He was raised to be a walking weapon in the war against crime. He learned his entire life was a lie. To rediscover himself, Dwayne Taylor will fight without the very team he organized, the New Warriors. Fight for his past and his future. Stan Lee presents Night Thrasher.
Well, as Kevin intimated in his little preamble, we're taking a diversion from the main title. Direct from the pages of New Warriors, this trade and the Marvel Unlimited has the Night Thrasher 4-issue, 4-control limited series. So much like with Thunderbolts, we have to weigh how much of the side material are we getting to. We will probably not get to the New Warriors novel after the novelization scandal from Thunderbolts. The less said about that, the best. What I found was interesting about this diversion, and we're taking in the order of the trade paperback, feel free to argue reading order.
Well, since it would have been fine if we would have read an issue of this, an issue of New Warriors, and alternated, because there's a character that shows up in here, and I'm like, we don't really know about this character. Like, the whole pilot?
True, true. But I feel like, and we'll get into it, that this warrants telling it in the block and reading it as the 4 issues in 1, and I would suggest the listeners...
Yeah.
Well, not to spoil, they can skip this, but if they do read it, read these 4 in a row, I would say.
The big picture is that we had the big build-up towards what the secret was behind Night Thrasher's origin and his lineage and heritage and all that stuff, and his caretaker being the evil witchy woman she was. And that all built up and came to a big head in issue 25, I believe, right? And so his whole life was a lie, and that's the perfect time for him to leave the team for a little while and go off and have a solo miniseries to follow up on the repercussions of that and give him a little time to breathe on his own and also be away from the team, because he's not really feeling like a team player right now. And in those issues that we just read of the New Warriors in the last segment, Night Thrasher was, you know, gone. So it all fits.
Yeah, it very much makes sense that what he would be doing and why he wouldn't be there. And the New Warriors, like, sort of cameo in his miniseries, but they're not here.
And yeah, I think it worked good for the New Warriors book, too. Like, after all that Night Thrasher and then the big revelation, you needed to sort of put him on the shelf and get into some of these other stories with the other characters. And I kind of didn't miss that he was missing. And when you said a roll call, I was thinking it's funny because it's the negative roll call. It was more that he was missing from the last roll call than, you know, and now we know why.
Yeah.
And what leapt out to me is this came in at $2 an issue from our normal $1.25. And that just sort of jumped out at me that I would have, I don't know if on the stands, it must be appealing. And it's no knock. We have Fabian, again, scripting, and it's Dave Hoover, a solid artist that I was unfamiliar with, but did a bunch of work for Marvel, DC, in that kind of early 90s to late 90s. Yeah. I guess he's worked on stuff since then, but he unfortunately passed away about a decade ago.
Yeah.
But not someone I was like, the name meant little to me. There was no run. I was like, oh yeah, that Dave Hoover. I mean, he did do runs on various
Captain
books,
America. He did the last Mark Gruenwald run on Captain America, which was not the best storyline, but Hoover's art helped. Sometimes he can be a little much with the heroic anatomy and stuff, but at least he's trying, and he does do very dynamic angles, and his girls are really pretty. His figure work is usually pretty good. His faces are really good. He's kind of from that from that Neil Adams school of artists.
Yeah, I enjoyed the artwork. I feel the same way. Storytelling's clear. Good expressions. It wouldn't have been a name that I would have, well, I wasn't really reading a lot then. It wasn't a name that I was like, oh, it's a Dave Hoover book, you know, like
that's the first thing that I thought when I popped the book open. I was like, ooh, Dave Hoover, cool. This is gonna be all right.
It's worth that 60% price raise.
Yeah, it's not one of those early 90s extreme styles. It's funny that in a lot of these scenes too with the dynamic dudes. It's just like sometimes they're sort of like showing you their hand, or it's like the, and then they have all the, I don't know if you would, I guess they did it somewhat, but I always think of like if someone's running in some of the Japanese stuff, it's like they have all the lines and everything, and you have that here, so it just reminded me of something like that.
It is the 90s.
Yeah.
We're heading into the fall, so Marvel still has a wide slate, a lot of books. I mean, you guys probably remember this era from books like Fish Police, Tech World, Terror Inc., you know, real solid, long-running Marvel, the WCW World Championship Wrestling comic book, you know, the real cream of the crop back then. But yeah, so whatever fall of 92 brings your brain, that's where we're at now. Anything you guys remember from the fall of 92 that jumps out, other than those classic titles, of course?
How about the Hulk in maybe a Speedo or at least some swim trunks trying to sell you some comics in the Marvel subscription ad?
Hey, they had to. I was a big believer in the subscriptions, and they had to get you where they had to get you.
But or they have a phone number. Andrew, a phone number. Call 1-900-73-WRITER to join the Ghost Rider on the road to vengeance.
You know, this is Jim Starlin, Infinity War time. This is Ron Mars and Lim doing Silver Surfer. This is plenty of good books out there.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yes.
This is Peter David Hulk.
Goofing with some of my examples, clearly. I mean, no offense to all the Terror Inc. and Tech World fans out there. So Night Thrasher, here we go. As Steve said, we're going to get probe his psyche. He had his whole origin tipped up.
Oh, yeah. The funny thing, I started noticing all the captions, and I'm like, if you were to take those captions away, it's like almost like you're taking away like half the issue. Like, it would be, like, I could see a modern comic doing that, like just having the base level stuff going on, and you could certainly read the comic like that, I think. But
well, unless he's got silhouette there, he really has nobody to talk to. He's not a talky guy, you know. And because of like everything about his character was leading towards, and what kind of defined his character, what drove his character, was all kind of not all the way resolved, but pretty much resolved and addressed in that issue 25. So it's also going to be the job of this miniseries, I think, to kind of give him a new direction going forward.
Yeah, well, so I certainly like how he's working through things in the captions and
get back to basics.
Yeah,
well, they give him his new armor. I
like that.
I am agnostic on the design change. I think it's fine. It's neither one of them really jump out to me. We're into the era of shoulder and knee accessories, all kinds of gi gauze and weapons packed into your armor. But it's that black. He kept the same color scheme. I would have thought maybe a new color scheme might have freshened it up, as far as like you're doing a redesign. Let's really sell the redesign and go with something completely new. But black and red, very 90s to me.
I think you've brought it up before, Andrew, about how he starts straying into like Iron Man territory.
Yeah,
and I don't want
much
it
so.
To be too yep. Iron Man-ish, absolutely. But sometimes it's like, how many different gadgets is he going to pull out here?
Yep, this is War Machine time too. War Machine's hot right now. But
the,
remember, part of his
boxes.
Part of his armor was related, like the design of his armor was related to that whole mythology around the witchy woman and the temple in Peru there and everything, right? Like, remember when they showed up and like all of the minions were all wearing helmets? Like, so it makes sense that he would change it up now.
Yeah. I just, that compartment in the back where he held the gun, like that was way more exciting than these gadgets. Like, that was cool.
Well, so you need, I always say with his tech characters, it makes sense that they're going to keep, as technology changes, they're going to keep fiddling with their armor. But I just felt a redesign that might have been more bold. Although at least they kept the weird bandana tied around his leg, which I never really figured out what those were ever for. But I guess it gave you visual flair, distracted the enemy. But
he's like a cape.
Yeah, he's got no cape to pull on, so there you go.
But the heavy caption box thing to me read like almost like you just insert Punisher War Journal in front of that.
Totally.
Because he's very edgy. Like he's trying to walk that line of a violent man, but still pulling it back enough that they can use him in superhero team books, which creates a weird distinction. I think divorcing him from his teammates here, they can make him even edgier now because he doesn't have, you know, Speedball joking and leavening the moon. But so he beats up a gang to start, and where we had left his surrogate father, Cord, turns out he was actually Silhouette's dad, which is kind of weird in the sense that if Silhouette and Night Thrasher to have a romantic relationship, it's his surrogate dad and her actual dad. But he is in the hospital, not going to get into it, brain injury. And this opens with Silhouette and he are close. Mercifully, they're going to fix his speech balloon issues where he's very hard to understand because of the brain injuries. That gets fixed in the series. I'm trying not to be able, like, I know people have legitimate problems speaking and I'm not making light of it. I just feel like it doesn't really work in this context. And it felt very soap opera-y almost that like, oh, give him this, you know, ailment and then he's going to get better from it.
How do you show that he has a brain injury?
Too, where there's another character with a speech balloon issue.
You can't really give him a limp, you know? You can't really show that he has a brain injury in comics another way than speech seems the quickest, easiest way.
Yeah. But, so Silhouette and he are... She wasn't aware till recently of him being her father, so they're bonding, but Night Thrasher is taking a break. He's healing on his own. And so we open up with quite an exciting and dramatic... And to me... Hoover has still a foot in the 80s, I feel like. The kind of, as you were saying, dynamic poses and solid kind of... He puts a lot in a panel. It's not just a pinup. I mean, there are plenty of big kind of pinup ones, but I feel like the panels, he can put a lot of different characters and they maintain their spatial relation from page to page.
Well, he knows
like
how
it feels like they're in scene.
He can compose both a panel and a page. Which is nice.
Yeah, not to knock the nut, but I've goofed on some of the stuff, the excesses of the 90s, more in our indie sister show, but here too. So anyways, they chloroform Silhouette and kidnap Cord. And so this does bring Night Thrasher, Dwayne, out of retirement, and they have to find out who would kidnap Cord. And there's a ticking clock, Steve, Kevin. He's going to have a cerebral hemorrhage. They don't get in there because of the fluid buildup. And I'm like, okay, we have a 4-issue limited series. Makes sense to put in the ticking clock. I get it.
Are we going to have a clock on the issue or on the cover where it's just counting down?
That'd be awesome.
That would have been. Like,
how about,
checks
like,
in with a doctor.
How about a string of little tiny panels along the bottom of each page that slowly show like the aneurysm getting bigger?
That would have, so this pushes Silhouette and Dwayne to work together. My overall comment, I feel like Fabian has sort of too many ideas and some of them I don't think are in well suited to the comic book format, or at least he doesn't seem to be able to execute it, because what we're going to have is a mystery involving the Foundation, and this is a takeover, so we need a list of suspects. I'm fine with that, but some of the motivation of the different board members I feel seems inconsistent, or I didn't buy, and the way it flip-flops back and forth, and then he also tries to introduce corporate intrigue, and none of those work, at least to my mind, in these issues. And that's a big reason why I'm like, you know, there's a lot of stuff not working. As you say, it is resetting the character, but Am I out of base here? How did you guys feel about this? Okay, we have our list of suspects of the board members. We're going to go back and forth, and then there's some corporate espionage.
I like the Dave Hoover art.
Kevin?
So I'm going to be the booster. I mean, it's enjoyable enough.
Good. Well,
I mean, it's just not as good as the New Warriors proper, but I mean, I probably have more investment and more interest in Night Thrasher than Super Steve anyways, so...
True. And like fair. I said, I feel like it's important, like the stuff with Night Thrasher works to move him to a new position. I just feel all this, these other characters and the corporate thing isn't interesting to me as a reader of the comic book. But I know Steve was excited to see return of frenemy to the New Warriors from their early issues, the Bengal.
Oh, yeah.
And this
I feel
is...
like I was influenced by this guy because I feel like there's a drawing I have where some kind of guy in some kind of crazy crosses or something on to like sort of like how Bengal has those lines going all over, like sort of like an animal. And then I feel like this character I drew also has like size and stuff. So I'm feeling I was influenced by New Warriors and spinoffs.
There was this character who was similar that was a baddie in Power Man and Iron Fist that was really cool too. But I like this design a lot, and I really like how Hoover does the design. I love how the boots really look like loose cloth around, you know, like ninja booties, and the way that the whole like shoulder piece girdle goes over his shoulders, it's cool. And when he's moving around and everything, like I really buy it. He's the coolest part of this series to me, how he's depicted.
I have a question for you, Andrew.
Yes.
Did the jungle breed?
Yeah, he has another strong accent that's translated to "de jungle." Well, did the jungle breathe in?
Yeah,
whatever translation form, because his is a revenge story. He's from Vietnam. Interesting choice that in the early '90s we're still doing Vietnam spinoffs, but the Nam was still an ongoing comic at Marvel.
Yeah,
you know, it's not like it's not an important social issue. It's just interesting whenever they tie these things to real world elements that creates a framework that when you go back to revisit, you're like, oh yeah, that happened in that era.
And his deal was, and we should have said before, that the Bengal had appeared in a few issues of New Warriors earlier, issues 7 through 9, where the New Warriors saved a priest who had been involved in the war from the Bengal's revenge.
And in this instance, yes, the Bengal is going after one of the board members who he believes might have been responsible for this. And just when he's about to take revenge, that's when Night Thrasher and Silhouette show up, chase him off. You know, he was able to beat him before. That was when we saw the Punisher cameo as well. And then that's when Night Thrasher is going to put the screws. Because remember, we have three possible baddies behind the whole scene. This is the first one he examines. You know, who's trying to take over the Taylor Foundation? Because when they kidnap Cord, they can get him to sign a document that gives control. And so, as a result, Night Thrasher... do you want to explain the Four Corners thing, or can we just... He has a philosophy about... Kevin, you love this, so do you want to give me the Four Corners?
I mean, it's like folding a piece of paper because it's for control. And he talks about control quite a bit in here, but it's four on the cover. But you could also say FOR, for control of the Tyler Foundation, but for control, four corners. You're folding like a piece of paper, the corners, reassembling your life. That was a lie.
Wow, you did that really good.
Yeah, I like it. I feel like for me, some of this kind of, like I said, the motivations at times are weird, but I guess he wants, you know, this Night Thrasher guy to really understand this control concept and get a handle on it. But we end up going Bengals beating up a gang so we can get some action, which, as Steve said, it's fun. The other thing I notice is that the use of the Psy and the different things by Bengal is fun. Like, he has, you know, he holds it different ways, and sometimes he uses fists, and like you say, real dynamic and fun action sequences. But Night Thrasher stops him and says, like, revenge is not the way. And then another moment I don't like, where the Bengal's like, well, did it work for you? I'm not doing the bad language that he uses. And Night Thrasher's thought balloon, like,
goes off about control again.
He knows, he smells it on me, smells the blood. And I'm like, really? This guy knows that you killed that one? Like, it seems one of those, I don't know. Like, I guess it could work with a Wolverine or something, but it seems like the idea that because of what he's saying and how he fought is different from last time, Bengal now knows that he killed someone. I don't know. I didn't buy it.
Phantom X, or but as like long as the it works, angle of your body, you start giving off pheromones or something.
Yeah, it seemed like a reach, but maybe it just means that Dwayne is paranoid.
Could be that too.
But it felt a little weird. And then he gives a whole speech about hating people to the gang, you know.
Poison memories. Remember that name.
Now, he gets sent to San Francisco to meet the crime lord Lotus. That's going to be our teaser for issue 2. Sent off to the next. So what's interesting is he's going to move around a lot. With our ticking clock, kids don't figure out the time zones and how long it would take to get to these different locations. You're not going to be happy. So then the kind of generic summary editorial page about, hey, you're going to love this thing. We're right. You know, check the main title. This is cool. We're all in it. We want you to be part of the team. They're just selling the whole, like, hey, you're part of the bullpen. And
we don't have any letters yet.
Yeah. Here's a summary of New Warriors if you've never read the book.
And jumps right into an action scene for 2 with a very tight cover. And he's taken out the crime lord's bosses, and this is where you get to see some of the devices we talked about, where he's got all kinds of scanners and wire cutters, and he also has like a huge, I don't know, it's a bit of, he's becoming a bit of a Swiss Army, like the street level fighting, but he also knows fine art at a distance. Like, he can tell that these pieces of art are legitimate without really examining them from like across the room. He's like, oh, that's an original Picasso. And I'm like, you know, most art people actually look at the thing. They don't see from across the room like, oh, yeah, that's a Mona. I mean, I guess if I drew the Picasso, they would say it's fake. But usually, but the point is, like, this is a big boss who also uses a Psy. And again, more like flares. Like, he's just got every gadget and gee-gaw in this second issue. And I guess it makes sense. They want to show people, you know, he's here.
He's in charge.
And she decides that after a brief scuffle, you know, hey, I don't want to damage my stuff. I'm a businessman. I'll give you the info. And that twist I like.
So you found that funny as well, where she's like, no further damage to my home.
Although I think it would hurt her businesses, don't you think? Like, if it found out that she just rolls like that.
And then it's funny, is like, you have all this stuff, but like, oh no, you have it squirreled away in some kind of filing cabinet. Professional.
Hey, it's still the early 90s, Kevin. She doesn't have it on a giant floppy disk yet.
It's not on microfiche.
But she has to point him to the next. Again, remember, we have our 3 heads, and he has to go visit each one. 4 issues, 3 people. We need to get to the next one. You know, another trip far away so we can visit this one. And then what I thought was the savviest move of all, they do a cross promotion by having him getting attacked by the character who's going to debut in a few months, Ravage 2099, Kevin.
Oh, Andrew. I don't know if Ravage ever had something stuck up his nose.
It's like a Road Warrior reject.
Is that how you get the drugs? It comes yes. from the capsule right into
the
your
venom.
Nose?
Like, the venom.
What is happening there?
So it's some guy with a kind of weird... Imagine a ponytail meets a mohawk that is a varying length and like the typical Road Warrior, kind of a little less spikes than I would have thought, but plenty of straps to make up for it. The chemical drug pumping into his nose, which is a unique way to do it. Like, you know.
But they say he's on every drug and also drugs you don't know about, but it doesn't seem to help him that much.
Well, they're establishing that Dwayne is really the badass dude, but he's your modern kind of going to be quippy and out of it and doesn't care if he lives or dies, 90s kind of guy. I think Ravage 99 is 29.9 is a fair comparison for his view.
I think Ravage 29.9 probably has more appearances than this guy. I don't know if he ever shows up again. Like, usually some of these characters come back in, like, some background scene with the hood or something. I don't think he comes back. But I could be mistaken.
Well, we get another toy. He busts out. He kept the skateboard.
Of course.
Which I guess was his real claim to fame. And I think I agree with you, Kevin. I much prefer when it was, like, he had a skateboard and a club and a hidden gun, and that was about it. Maybe some gas pellets or something.
Yeah, remember you used the gas pellets on the Juggernaut? Didn't work out so well.
But now that he's got, like I said, in this issue alone, he's used 8, 9, 10 different things.
Like, you almost expect him to electrify the cable when Tantrum here grabs a hold of it.
Well, you know that he can also probably hit a button and it stiffens into a pole type of thing. But anyways, so he gets away, and then we have our obligatory New Warriors cameo. And I think Hoover does a great job with the crew. It's fun to see. That's the part I like, is when you get a different artist, you get a new take on our Namorita, Nova, and Speedball.
Yeah, I want to see more of his Nova.
Mm. Does the helmet match the head?
Looks cool.
And so at this point, he needs to get from San Francisco to Hong Kong. So our new character, Kevin said, this is a bit of a spoiler, but they have a helicopter pilot badass, Sprocket.
Yep.
And so they're going to send the helicopter pilot up. We're going to see more of Sprocket in the main series. She really is just the pilot here.
Yeah.
She's less than Frenchie, to use the Moonlight equivalent.
Yeah, I think Cord had provided a list or some references of some good pilots.
Yeah. Well, now we have to have a whole, like, Punisher's War Journal, Wayne, you know, reflects on where he's at so far,
Who is
including
he?
Tracking down the assassin. But strangely enough, we don't see the conflict.
No.
We just see him in his civvies outside the perp's house.
That's to put some more surprises later in the story.
We cut to the helicopter and Sprocket. She's flying him in and she's like, this is a bad idea. You know, you always got to have the person that doesn't believe, and that raises the stakes because we, the reader, now realize, boy, this attack plan is not smart. It's dangerous. And he busts right in and he's going to face Trevor Madsen, the second board member. But before he can, who shows up? Tantrum. The drug-addled 90s fighter. And we're going to get our big showdown number two.
Do you like how Night Thrasher's like, I want some answers. And then the dude just says, well, ask some questions then.
That I didn't like that. I do like the twist with Tantrum. When he sticks Tantrum on him, he says, you know, hey, for the price is right. My price is always right. Tantrum attack. Tantrum turns around, takes his psi, which has no cutting edge, by the way, folks. It is a pointed weapon. It's a jabbing weapon. You can totally grab the sides as hard as you want. Cuts off the tip of his cigarette in the cigarette holder. Not sure how he does that with the psi. Like I said, there's no blade to the psi. But that notwithstanding, Night Thrasher has the last laugh. Never underestimate the power of money, Mr. Madsen. Night Thrasher overpaid what Madsen paid, which I thought was a fun twist. Like, yeah, it's a smart way to get out of the battle. Like, I just, that's why he went to his house. He just went and paid him money.
But like, Andrew, it makes sense. Is having money, is that give you control?
Money's the best superpower is all I've learned from
Should you just be writing checks to supervillains and to people?
Why not?
Just give the terrorists what they want. Very heroic.
I mean, how is fighting that dude in this townhouse going to change anything? What, you're going to beat him up, or he beats you up, and then what? Like, he's going to be dead soon.
Then I'm
entertained. If he's literally taking every drug... I don't think he's long for this world. I'm no medical expert, but I'm pretty sure every drug and some you've never heard of is not a long, you know, lifetime agreement.
So we have an ad here for an X-Men board game. Ever own it?
I looked at getting one off of eBay. I did not own it back in the day, obviously, but I have looked at that X-Men. It's not that bad. The problem is, I don't know, the reviews didn't seem like it was any kind of game that anyone would, you know, it didn't seem like it was anything that tremendous. But I did look at it on eBay, but I was like, eh, do I really need to spend a bunch of money on this? What's probably not, I mean, I liked it, I always liked the tokens and the add-ons to those things, you know, the little plastic Wolverine or whatever, but.
Yeah. Yeah, apparently, what does it say? There's 18 collectible X-Men figures.
But as our listeners no doubt have concluded, turns out this is the wrong one. He has an excuse, and the only person who's really going to benefit is our third board member, Eve Magdalene. I mean, you know, it made sense that he's not going to find it right away. Like, we got three. It's a four-issue limited series. I thought it would have been a funny twist to, too, make it like the second one, and we don't even see the next one. But anyway, so now you know, Night Thrasher's like, you have to close up the office on you know, Mr. Taylor orders you to.
Yeah, and this cover has this giant ad in the corner too, Beyond Video, the new Dragon Quest game.
So he knows that this is about control of money, as Kevin said, which leads us to the third issue. Now, I'm of an age when, okay, you need to goose sales. You're going to drop a Spider-Man, a Wolverine. This is as 92 as you get to goose sales. The special character they drop is Gideon.
Yeah, I know Gideon again. A connection.
So you know, with our... I think as we discussed him, he came up in the big annual crossover. The first one that we reviewed, which I found to be not satisfying. The story I thought was very muddled. But the Gideon thing was fun enough. He's a super powerful mutant that mimics abilities, but he's also like a corporate raider.
Yeah.
Feels like more 80s than 90s to me. But in the 90s, we still got ponytailed corporate guys.
So I was actually thinking about when they were going to remake Gideon and give him his Marvel Legends figure. But if they do, I don't want him to be in the costume he wears, if you can call this a costume in this issue.
Yeah, so
like,
he's...
It's weird because you have the whole corporate intrigue, and then later on it's like, oh yeah, this is a superhero comic, now we gotta go fight too. And then he's wearing this, like, pink outfit and everything.
What's a little bit... and it doesn't too negatively impact it, but we add some inkers to this issue. So oh, yeah. I don't know if Hoover was falling behind, but Palmiotti, Hudson, Kay Williams, at least, are named. There might be more, I don't know. It didn't really impact the book negatively to my mind. I just thought, man, by issue 3 you're getting into additional inkers. That's always fun, because before it was just Hoover doing the whole thing. But anyways, we're gonna have sadly, the name of this company is dangerously close to Oprah. But it's Oprah. Let's be honest, it's me. I'm probably gonna end up calling it the Oprah Foundation. There's no way he accidentally, I mean, it's one letter off from, and not at the beginning. He couldn't call it like Bopra or something.
I had the same problem. I'm like, Oprah?
So again, more gadgets, and he breaks into Gideon's. Now, Gideon, we know, trashed the New Warriors the first time. Turns out that Eve is an LMD or some equivalent, which I'm no expert, but I'm pretty sure that's illegal. Like, I don't think you can have a robot for an officer of a corporation. But anyways, he gets to use his computer savvy. He's going to upload a bug to screw up Magdalene, which will screw up Ofra's industry.
Well, they don't have any off-site backups and everything in this era.
No, and this is where Kevin finally gets the part he seemed to enjoy, which is the corporate stock battles.
Oh, that was pretty... See, I can imagine a comic nowadays devoting a lot of space to, like, some kind of thing like this, but whenever they do things like this back then, you always have to couch it in a fight. It's sort of like an X Factor issue. Oh, we got to do a crossover, so we'll have some serious issues, some pages about some real life crisis, and then in the middle it'll be like Strife and the Nasty Boys will be fighting each other, and you'll be like, "What?" But, so it kind of reminds me of that.
Dwayne shows up in a blue suit in a civilian identity. Gideon shows up in a green suit. They're at a board meeting. They each make their pitch for who should vote for which company, and it's going to see if there's a hostile takeover.
Yeah,
and it's because about there's four
also that
pages.
Other company in here from another New Warriors issue. It's funny that everything's coming back.
Yeah, but as I said, maybe Kevin, if you want to give this back and forth, it didn't work for me.
Hmm?
If you want to explain how.
I just kept on thinking, maybe this is weird, but you know those video games, the Ace, is it Ace Attorney?
Yes.
Phoenix?
Objection.
And then there's that one point where Dwayne is like pointing and the lines are going. Like, I couldn't stop thinking about like that type of thing is happening here, and it amused me.
I mean, I'm sure it's fun for Hoover to draw suits and dress, like different, not superhero costumes, but I don't care. Taylor wins. No surprise. And Gideon threatens them as they're leaving. And so at that night, he ends up taking a helicopter to Gideon's base. So he's going to face him. And again, with another weird Iron Man twist, like,
yes,
he can turn his armor different colors. So it goes all white and he snowboards down.
But why do you invest that much effort into concealing yourself and everything? Is Gideon's like, "Hey, we're gonna go fight at my place, right?"
Yeah.
And then they're like, "Oh yeah, I know what you're saying." And then Night Thrasher's just like, "Oh, gotta break in silent." And I'm like, "Dude, you said you were gonna go fight him at his place."
He'll never expect me there.
As I said, I feel like having him be like a street level beat 'em up guy and a tech guy is not a satisfying world to me. It feels like now they can just write in the gimmick where if he needs a tool or a giga, it's in the armor.
I mean, he was already like involved in computers and some tech at his company and everything, but
it just feels 90s. He's into computers and skateboarding and snowboarding, kids.
He's a hacker skateboarder.
And he fights guys in ponytails, like. But
yeah,
a nice,
it is kind of 90s.
A nice, you know, full page spread starting the fight man to man, because Taylor's going to take off the armor, and that's going to stop Gideon from leeching his abilities. Although, wouldn't he be able to leech his fighting abilities?
He's not Taskmaster exactly.
Well, if he can mimic the equipment, like the mechanical stuff, then how is that different than, you know, I thought it was just mutant powers. I didn't realize he could mimic like machines and everything else.
You know, I haven't checked to see if that's actually his powers or not.
So I'm not sure Fabian did either. So.
And then he has these weird yellow gloves too. Anyhow.
So the fight.
I just find it hilarious. The ad is for this Spider-Man special edition is not for sale. It's the Trial of Venom. And I remember going, oh no, I'm not going to own. This is probably my one of my first encounters with, like, they sell comics elsewhere, or like there's a newsstand direct market, and there might be comics that, you know, they're exclusive comics somewhere that you can't get. And I'm like, well, what if the issues, what if the market turns into this where I can't get comics because you gotta send this offer away and everything? And I remember I was like, oh, I guess I'm gonna miss this issue. And then I remember a friend of mine sent away for one copy because he had some kind of thing where he could get it delivered to like a US address. I think he knew someone in the US. So he sent away for one copy. Somehow he got five copies. So then I'm like, I ended up getting one of these copies. And I'm like, yes, I didn't have to send away. I got
Nice.
this issue.
Was it? I always thought those things were reprints. Was this a unique original story?
Yeah. So this is
Oh, very
actually,
nice.
yeah. So it's funny how they say a whopping fold-out poster, a protective poly bag. That's just so because they're sending it through the mail, and you probably have to have it in a bag. That's not going to protect anything. Extra heavy, a heavy cover with metallic ink. So yeah, I mean, it doesn't go for a lot of money, but it's not a. I mean, it shouldn't be a dollar bin fodder, but I just thought it's an interesting special edition promo they advertise in here.
So he beats Gene, obviously, in this man-to-man fight because he is the smartest, the best, the top guy. He's the best hacker. He talks about he broke into everyone's system, found out the answers, uploads a virus to Gideon's system. And it turns out he was lied to by the first guy we saw to. So it comes first full circle, guys. I did not, in a shocker, he's going to go back to the original.
Oh no.
See, there's five corners.
Well, he has to take control of his fury, control it, and get back to that guy.
So that leads us to four, which is Thrasher and a very concerned looking silhouette. Headshots with, and here we have one inker, Ian Aiken, purportedly, hopefully. And
So
Night
there's gonna be
Thrasher.
grief, loss, and betrayal in this one.
Yeah, not sure which corner that is, but he's back beating up the same gang like for the ninth time. I feel like the Turk should have joined this gang for
Yes.
this. So he's getting to the bottom, and as a result, he has to go back to where the scene of the original crime. How could we not have done this, guys? Waiting this long? Surely he has some gee-gaw to search the device, but he gets there. And Silhouette's there, and she hits him with her crutch. Bam.
Oh no, is this the betrayal?
She's putting an end to this entire affair. But he knows her weakness is she needs shadows, so he fires some flares
There we
and
go.
takes her prisoner. And don't bother to activate the weaponry in your braces. I also didn't know she had weaponry in the braces. Like, I didn't know she was super strong. She's super strong, super fast, has weapons in her. Like, I need a oh hop move for this chick pretty soon. We need
You know,
to
you can
settle
sneak
on.
a dagger in there.
Need to settle on what exactly she has. And she tells him, "Hey, look, Cord is safe." Well, first she won't say until he says, "Please." You know, it was a nice moment between them. And then she's like, "Look, finding Cord isn't what's important." And I'm like, isn't that what kicked off this whole thing? Like, he had to find
No.
Cord? Finishing what you started is. You remember you started that puzzle way back in. No, it's finishing the puzzle of his mystery. So we cut to more boardroom action, and it's
Sweet.
Dwayne in a killer white suit, white shirt, yellow tie combo. Double breasted. Like, this thing is like, he's business. And he's putting together a new board. And so he needs a bunch of crazy people on the board. He needs a priest who knows nothing about business and who is kind of questionable to begin with to somehow be the ethics, the morality. I'm like,
Yeah.
I don't know that that guy was super moral to begin with, but. And and then he needs the guy with vision.
Not
So he.
vision.
Yeah. The guy that created the vision, Ultron. No. I'm only joking, but he's he needs he's getting Walter Rogan, who was with GeneTech. And GeneTech was the creator of the big evil team that was going to be their kind of their UFOs and fight them time and time again. That didn't really pan out, but...
Weren't they also the guys that released Terrax?
Yeah. So, but the point is, like, they got the knowledge, and now that he's shaken out the other two board members, he wants a morality guy, and not that good at that, and a vision guy, who's not that good at that.
Who would you have as your last guy? Would you need an evil guy that possibly betrayed you, maybe?
That's ridiculous, Kevin. But he can't get to that because he has to get to the last board member who we saw in the first issue.
Oh.
When he saved. And he has to break out yet another new toy because, you know, this is his super bug, so we can hear that the board member controlled the gang. Oh. So this lets us have a big punch up. But he's fine. Like, we need a punch up. The book needs it. Dwayne needs it. We're all satisfied. Right? Right, well, you guys weren't mad that he had a punch up, right? You weren't like, no, I want more corporate intrigue. I need another 6 pages of a corporate hostile takeover failure.
Well, it's funny that he says that Dwayne is now in control of this Poison Memories gang.
Yeah, I don't. That was another part where I was unsure how. Like, they explain it, but.
How is he going to explain all this to the new warriors when he comes home?
He probably won't. Until later, when secrets will come out, maybe.
So the board member's like, hey, look. He really was a North Vietnamese general.
Uh-oh.
Not sure why he fled the country. They won the war. But anyways, they're a South Vietnamese gang, so you now have this piece of information to blackmail me.
He's trying to redeem himself, maybe.
How is that? I don't. Again, the motivations of these really leave me spinning, but you said it works for you, Kevin, so.
I mean, it's enjoyable.
I don't understand why any of these last 2 pages of who said what and why. But anyways, apparently this means he's folded the corners.
Yes.
And now he's in his bed. Because he's going to keep the evil crooked board member, because you need a crooked guy on your charitable foundation.
Well, when you run up against crooked guys like Gideon, it helps to have another crooked guy put the screws to him.
You need a yin and a yang.
You don't just need good people who are good at their job, maybe?
This isn't Star Trek.
You don't need white hats. You need if you're having a black hat hacker problem, you don't get a white hat. You need another black hat.
Hey, listen, if the priest is the moral guidance, you need to make him look good by comparison. So if everyone else is a crook, that you know, that works.
If someone hacks into your system, you don't get that guy arrested. Then you hire that guy to work for you.
Yeah, that part I get. But the point is, he's keeping him because he's evil, not because he has a demonstrable skill. Like, evil's not really a particular skill, but, you know, hey, I guess charitable foundations need more than I thought. But the other thing I don't like is they mix, like, the full circle and the folded corners thing, and I'm like, stick to one confused metaphor. The Dwayne goes home and there's Cord. Mercifully, he's been operated on, so no more speech problems.
Oh, but who was really behind the whole thing, this whole series?
Well, Dwayne's mad at this whole thing. And then suddenly Silhouette comes out and stops him, and she was behind it all. She chloroformed, arranged to have herself chloroformed. And I would have loved if they had used too much chloroform and she slipped into a coma.
Wow. That's dark, Andrew.
That would have been a funny twist on the... It's still pretty hardcore to get yourself chloroformed.
And get yourself kidnapped?
She's like, yeah, why did you do it? Because after you learned about your past, about how I'd killed your parents against my will, you avoided me. I could understand why, but also knew the foundation, the good work it does, was in trouble. The only way I could make you do something to save it was to force your hand, even at the risk of my own life. not really sure that was the way to do it, because he had control of it and could have signed it over anyway.
Why didn't you just get him to sign the paper?
Yeah, I don't. And so he starts to cry. You use me just like everyone else had.
He got betrayed again.
And Silhouette's like, no, Dwayne, you used yourself to gain control, to learn and grow. Cord only gave you the impetus you needed to do it on your own. You hurt me, Sil. He's hurt me. And Silhouette's like, and you've hurt me. And we've all hurt each other. Once we accept that, do we have it in us to forgive each other? And they all hug. And that is the least satisfying come around on a betrayal I have seen ever. Like, what? She set him up? And they're like, well, we needed you to become a real jerk and to learn to have a crooked board member. And
you needed to become a different kind of jerk. You were a jerk before, now you're a different kind of jerk. And we're all better off because of it.
Yeah.
I mean, his whole life was a lie. These are the only family he has. He doesn't have a choice.
Yep. They're all damaged. At least Cord can talk.
Lie to each other and manipulate each other, and yep, that's how they're going to. I mean, it's an interesting. I think I would have preferred them agreeing to this grudgingly, rather than like, oh, we're all a big fat happy family. I don't know how they don't all have some resentment. I mean, they've done some pretty dirty stuff to each other in this thing.
I mean,
and we're supposed to believe that's they're all, you know, wrapped up in one panel. Or two panels?
Well, it seems like it, but are they going to completely follow through? Like, are they going to have second thoughts? I mean, maybe that'll be the next New Warrior segment.
I looked ahead, Kevin, and read the next issue. It's not.
Oh. But
that being said, as a quick addendum to this, just in the trade itself, we're not going to cover this. I don't think it's on Marvel Unlimited. The 92 Holiday Special had a couple of pages of the New Warriors back with the Derek Robertson and Larry Malstead. And it's just one of those, like, they're all celebrating Christmas their own way. Dwayne's beating up street punks. The one thing I really like from this, the one takeaway I would give you is
Merry Christmas, punks!
They gave Silhouette a purple cloak, which looks really cool with her outfit. Like that, she has a black and yellow bodysuit, and the cloak works really well. Well, they're beating up a Santa Claus, and it's Santa, give me some money, I've been a good boy, which is very much like the Kinks song Father Christmas. So I'm like, is Derek Robertson gonna work stuff in all the time? But it's more building on like Rage and Robbie have a relationship, and Firestar and Vance do, and you know, Kid Nova is growing up and has a girlfriend that he spends time with, and Amarita feels isolated.
That's an from important humans. Part of holidays is those relationships you have with each other.
And then they all have a nice, you know, they all meet for happy holidays, gang. And
so
it's a nice
say
thing.
We all.
But, and I also feel like it's not on the Unlimited. I don't think anyone needs to run out. I don't know about the rest of the issue. These holiday specials, I mean, they're fun at the time, but I wouldn't send anyone out to go spend $5 or whatever to grab it. You can read a holiday special from almost every year. It's the same.
I mean, but if someone said they ran out to get that Foom Saves Christmas or the Santatron issue, and they said they spent $5, I'm like, that would be good. But normally, no.
Yeah, these guys, and like I said, they're fine if you find them in a cheap bin or something, but when it's not on Unlimited, I'm more hesitant to tell people to run out and grab it or anything like that. I feel like that's
don't,
that.
Don't
but I
you,
just wanted to ask,
don't you tell me what I can like.
I mean, part of the context of these things is that they're accessible much easier than they used to be. You don't gotta crawl bins or order online or whatever. I always prefer the paper, but I do feel like the accessibility of some of these things makes it easier. You know, I'm not having people spend their hard-earned money on things just for a laugh or whatever. But there, and it gets us our New Warriors quoting. But Night Thrasher 4 Control, gentlemen, 4 issues, $2 a pop in the late fall of 92. What do you think now that you've read them all? Or Ken, did you read these when they came out?
Most of them, because it's funny. I look at the, sometimes I judge things by the plastics and backing boards they're in. Because sometimes I haven't.
Oh, really, this is my original tape.
Well, it's something like Amazing Spider-Man. Like I went in there and original tape totally is. Sometimes I went in there and replaced stuff. The funniest thing is I took out the board for the first issue, and I had, no joke, I had written on the board Amazing Spider-Man 110, good condition, $16, first printing. So I think I had put the board in the front of that issue before, and then I ran out of boards, so then I must use it as a backing board on this Night Thrasher number one, and it's, I can tell it's the original tape. Like, the tape is really bad. Not eating through the bag or anything. Like, not those crazy stories. And then you get to the second issue, it's just a regular bag type of thing.
The tape, I
old,
like
old tape.
When I find an issue that's like, oh, this is when I first bagged my comics tape, there was something about that tape that I used where, like, it's not tape anymore. It's like a tacky, almost liquid.
Yeah.
But it doesn't eat through the bag, but what it does is it sticks really hard to the,
yeah,
to the front of the bag of the issue behind it, right? So it's like you're pulling it apart and it's like, okay, here's two bags I gotta replace.
Yeah, I've taken to taking tape off of some of the bags. I know that's gauche, but I don't know. I feel like taping it doesn't, I know it lets you fit more in, but like you say, there's all these hassles with it.
The third issue only has a bag, and I know I didn't have this, and it's not in the best of shape, so I pulled this out of a bin. And then the fourth issue just has a more modern bag type of thing where I'm like, I'm progressed into the proper taping. And so, I know it's just kind of funny, like, you see stuff like that, and I'm like, oh yeah, this is the evolution of, like, this series through my reading, collecting.
Well, how did you? Well, how does 2021 Kevin feel about Night Thrasher 4 Control?
It's enjoyable. I mean, if you're not a Night Thrasher fan or a big New Orleans fan, like I don't think you need to. Well, we weren't even going to, but like I don't remember anymore how much this stuff is brought up. Like, they'll probably do maybe a flashback or just make an offhand reference that what happened in this mini, but for Night Thrasher, like, there's some important follow-ups and returning characters.
Gideon will be back.
Tantrummer, when is he coming?
No. But Poison Memories, I remember that name, so I'm pretty sure they show up again.
All right, now
well, it's his gang. He runs it.
Yeah, yeah. So there are some things in here that it might be sort of like when Rage in the team, and it's like they reference something in Avengers when the New Warriors first met up with Rage. Like, you're probably missing moments like that. Like, this series will be one of those moments.
I thought he was going to put them on horseback and attack the bad gang.
Okay.
That would be Dark Knight-y of him to do. A Dark Knight-y thing.
I mean, I'm a little more... A little less into the thing than Kevin, maybe. I mean, I think it's fine. Like, on the Unlimited,
yeah, it's fine.
You can power through it, but I wouldn't go out of your way to run down these issues or anything.
That was exactly my experience. Yeah. I was kind of surprised you guys wanted to divert to read these issues, but hey, I powered through it on the Unlimited. But the nice surprise was the Dave Hoover art, and he was lost before his time. And he was doing some cool stuff. And I like Dave Hoover art, man. Wish he was still around making it.
Yeah. Like, I think there's more in these issues than I thought there was. So that's good. Like, if you ran across them in the 25-cent bin or whatever, I mean,
well, you know,
decent enough to pick up.
If he pops up in the regular series and he's, like, the leader of this gang and he's got these minions and stuff, I mean, we think we're going to want to know, you know, what happened.
Yeah.
So. Good for us.
Always good for us. Yes, yes. We're making it happen. But yeah, I don't know. I'm mainly because it was in that book, and because I haven't really read too much ahead, I'm like, well, it's in there. It's on the Unlimited. Let's go ahead and read it. You know, it's important. Look, Night Thrasher's the new character in this group. He's the one they created. So let's give him his due. But we'll be back to your regularly scheduled New Warriors coverage, people.
What's crazy is you think of this miniseries and then him being in New Warriors, and then they launch an ongoing series of Night Thrasher.
Really?
Yeah. So,
and wait a minute, you said miniseries. This is Marvel. Limited series, Kevin.
Oh, right.
Limited series.
Sorry.